Six justices agreed on the result. Only five agreed on why. That one vote gap is the whole story of what happened after the Supreme Court decided Trump versus Barbara on June 30, 2026, because the sixth justice, Brett Kavanaugh, didn't just decline to join the constitutional holding. He wrote out, in his own opinion, exactly how Congress could get a different result next time. Within 72 hours, the conservative legal movement had stopped mourning a defeat and started reading it as a set of instructions. At stake were roughly 255,000 birth certificates a year. U.S.-born children who, under the executive order the court just struck down, would not have been American citizens at all. You're listening to Civic Intelligence, where we separate what a court actually ruled from what people are choosing to say about it. Today, the ruling that kept birthright citizenship the law of the land, and the 5-4 crack inside it that conservatives are already treating as an opening. Start with what the court held, because that part is not in dispute. Chief Justice John Roberts wrote the majority opinion, joined by Justices Sotomayor, Kagan, Barrett, and Jackson. They're holding a child born on U.S. soil to parents who are here illegally or only temporarily is subject to the jurisdiction of the United States and is therefore a citizen at birth under the 14th Amendment. Roberts traced that rule back to 1898 to a case called United States versus Wong Kim Ark, which had settled the question until now for 128 years. He rejected the government's competing theory that citizenship requires a parent's permanent domicile and full allegiance, calling it a dramatically revisionist view, resting on scant evidence. The order the court struck down was President Trump's first action back in office. Republican, signed January 20, 2025, titled Protecting the Meaning and Value of American Citizenship. It told federal agencies to stop recognizing citizenship for children born here if the mother was unlawfully present or on a temporary visa, and the father was neither a citizen nor a lawful permanent resident. Here's the detail that tends to get lost. It never actually took effect. Federal judges, including one who called it blatantly unconstitutional, blocked it before its own start date. By the time the Supreme Court ruled, the order had been in force for 0 days. The stakes were still real, though. The Migration Policy Institute and Penn State's population, researchers estimated roughly 255,000 babies born every year would have lost their claim to citizenship under that order, a figure Pew Research put at closer to 260,000. Here's the mechanism. The part that turned what looked like a lopsided loss into a rallying point. Six justices agreed the order was unlawful, but only five of them signed the actual constitutional holding. The sixth vote belonged to Justice Brett Kavanaugh, who concurred in the result on much narrower ground. He found the order conflicted with a 1952 statute that already wrote the Wong Kim Ark rule into federal law. Kavanaugh explicitly declined to reach the 14th Amendment question at all, and then wrote that Congress could amend that statute or enact new legislation establishing exceptions to birthright citizenship for children born to parents unlawfully or temporarily in the country. Fox News called it a roadmap from the president's hero, Justice. Senator Tom Cotton, Republican of Arkansas, began pointing to that opinion as the path forward. Speaker Mike Johnson, Republican of Louisiana, called himself very disappointed. While describing the majority's reasoning as a textualist, originalist view, the three justices who dissented outright make the mechanism easier to see, because their argument is the one the roadmap is really borrowing from. In a 91-page dissent, Justice Clarence Thomas, joined by Justice Gorsuch, argued that subject to the jurisdiction, was always meant to require a parent's domicile and allegiance, not mere physical presence, and that the majority's reading devalues American citizenship. Thomas pointed to Senator Trumbull's own floor statements from 1866 to an 1884 case called Elk v. Wilkins, and to the fact that Wong Kim Ark's own parents were lawfully domiciled here, unlike the parents this order targeted. Justice Samuel Alito wrote separately to call the case one of the most important decisions in the history of the court and a serious mistake. Justice Gorsuch added his own solo dissent, arguing the order was lawful at least as applied to the children of temporary visitors. None of that commanded 5 votes. It lost, but it is now the intellectual toolkit for everyone arguing this fight isn't over. So what's the actual argument for calling a defeat a win? It's a chorus, not one voice, and every line in it is commentary, not law, which makes it worth naming precisely who is saying it. Heritage Foundation President Kevin Roberts called the ruling a tremendous betrayal of the Republic that cheapened the sacred value of American citizenship and is now pushing a constitutional amendment. Writing at the Federalist, Joy Pullman put the majority's reasoning on the legal level of Dred Scott and Roe v. Wade, and wrote bluntly that the child of a Chinese spy born in the States is not an American. On Real Clear Politics, Molly Hemingway called the decision apocalyptically and indefensibly bad, on the level of Dred Scott or Roe v. Wade. Writing for Fox News, Mike Davis revived the Elk v. Wilkins comparison from the dissent and called the ruling this ultimate betrayal. And legal scholar Edward J. Erler, writing at the American Mind, argued that Judge Ho's reading of the clause, obedience, not allegiance, makes part of the 14th Amendment redundant and abandons the framers' idea that citizenship requires the consent of the governed, not mere presence. 2 things are true about that chorus at once. It is loud, well-credentialed, and worth hearing on its own terms. And the page is careful to say this plainly. Not every conservative legal scholar agrees with it. Writing in National Affairs, originalist scholars John Yoo and Robert Delahunty argue the majority's reading, not the dissent's, is actually the more faithful one to the Constitution's plain text and the framers' own debates. Originalist is doing a lot of work on both sides of this fight, and the honest answer is that reasonable conservatives disagree with each other. Then the spin runs into a fact check. On Truth Social, President Trump argued Congress could simply make it up with an ordinary law. No constitutional amendment required. Factcheck.org and most constitutional scholars call that dubious. 5 justices grounded this result in the Constitution itself, and an ordinary statute cannot override a constitutional holding. The only durable paths left are a constitutional amendment, which needs 2/3 of both chambers of Congress, plus 38 states, a bar with no realistic majority in sight, or a future Supreme Court willing to revisit Wong Kim Ark itself. That second option is exactly what a detour waiting to be corrected is betting on. In the meantime, the administration is working inside the ruling it just lost. The Justice Department, under Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche, installed after Trump fired Attorney General Pam Bondi in April, issued a memo directing federal prosecutors to prioritize birth tourism fraud cases. On the other side, New Jersey Attorney General Jennifer Davenport, a Democrat who led a coalition of 25 states and territories against the order, said the ruling confirmed that, quote, the president has no power to rewrite our nation's citizenship rules with the stroke of a pen. Here's the bottom line. Birthright citizenship is still the law. A child born in the United States to parents who are here illegally or temporarily is a citizen at birth, full stop, for now. That is not spin. Five justices grounded it in the Constitution, and six agreed on the result. But five is one vote from being four. Kavanaugh's separate opinion hands Congress a place to start writing a new law, and the conservative legal movement is treating this case exactly the way it once treated Roe. Not as settled, but as reversible. So both halves of the headline are true. Five justices saved birthright citizenship. And the side that lost is already working the exits. Every quote, every vote count, and every name in this episode is sourced and linked in the full explainer. From the Supreme Court's own opinion, to the Washington Examiner, the Federalist, Real Clear Politics, and National Affairs. Read every source for yourself at civicintelligence.news. And if you want the next accountability story read to you, subscribe. New episodes wherever you get your podcasts.